Hey everybody, it's Adam, live and in person for you. Hey everybody, it's Adam, wonder who he'll interview.
Hey everyone, it's Call Me Adam, and on today's episode of Bearing It All with Call Me Adam, we are speaking with actress, comedian, author, Julie Halston, who is currently making them laugh in Tootsie at the Marriott Marquis, and she's returning to Birdland on October 3rd with an all-new show. Hi, Julie.
Hi, how are you, Adam?
I'm well. Thank you for coming on the show.
It's always a pleasure to see you and to be on your show.
Yes, I always love talking to you. So let's jump right in. It's been 2 years since your last show at Birdland and our last interview. So what has been some of the biggest changes for you in these past 2 years?
Well, not to make people feel bad, but the biggest change, of course, is that my husband, Ralph Howard, passed away last August. And for the last 2 years, I haven't really been able to concentrate on writing a new show. I was taking care of him primarily. And then after he passed away, I went off to Chicago to do Tootsie. And I was there for almost 3 months, I guess. Yeah. And of course, now we're on Broadway doing Tootsie. So it's been a very challenging year, but also a very rewarding year in many ways because of Tootsie. So I thought to myself, hey, maybe now's the time. And of course, Jim Caruso, who, you know, Mr. Birdland, kept pushing me, hey, come back to Birdland. So I'm doing a show called Judge Julie Presiding, because people who know me know that I'm rather judgmental. I feel I'm always right, even when I'm wrong. I feel like I'm a very judgmental person, but I hope in a positive way. And so I started writing again, and hopefully to incorporate both a new slant on the old material and also some new material, things that I've never discussed before. There's also apparently a lot of new people coming to this show because, for example, my Tootsie cast, a lot of them have never seen me before in my comedy, you know, guise. Yes. They've only seen me on the theater stage, either in a Charles Busch show or on Broadway, or as Bitsy Von Muffling in Sex and the City, but they don't know me as a comic, comedian, actress doing her own stand-up. So I'm very excited because there'll be a lot of my old fans, which is great, and yet a lot of new people. So I'm very excited to do not only my new material, but also, you know, some of my famous readings. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, what's fascinating to me in working with younger people, because at this point, everyone is younger than me, is when they kind of say to me things like, now, Joan Crawford, that's not Betty Davis, is it? It's Joan Crawford. They're like that old movie star people, you know? And it's like, you want to die. Yeah. But on the other hand, when you explain that Mommy Dearest, the movie, which is a movie a lot of people have seen, yeah, young and old, they go, oh my God, that's Joan Crawford. So I think they're excited to actually hear from Joan Crawford herself, you know, when I do read from her book. But it's been great. And what I do love is introducing people to, you know, sort of the crazy world of Julie Halston. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we'll be exploring in this show is that life is a very tricky balancing act. And since I've had a very challenging couple of years, I will be talking about, you know, the light and the darkness of the world, which I hope is very profound. But, you know, as I say to people, you know, I'm actually very shallow, but I'm deeply shallow. I'm deeply shallow. So if you're interested in being deeply shallow, you know, you should see my show.
Yeah. I love being deeply shallow. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's why we get along so well.
I think so, too. Yeah. All the things that you, you know, are interested in, I'm interested in, too. And, you know, as I said to the cast last night, they said, how are you preparing for your, you know, return engagement? I said, well, I just got a boatload of Botox, which I did yesterday. And that prepares me. Once I know that my forehead cannot move, I'm ready. You see what I'm saying here?
Yes.
So I'm ready.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yeah, it has not moved once.
That hasn't moved, and there's no lines.
No, nothing.
There's no lines. It's exactly.
Yes,
and that's what you want in a comedian.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
You know, so people have actually said to me, don't you worry about Botox because, you know, people won't know how you're feeling. And I always say to them, you know, I'll tell you how I'm feeling.
Right.
Yeah, and I'll look better doing it.
That's right.
So there you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, actually, that leads me to a question I was going to save for later, but we're going to jump to it now. Oh my God, I just almost lost it.
That's all right.
Oh yes, here it is. So in our last interview in 2017, which we did about your last Birdland show, which was called Life, Death, and Filler, I had asked you, how are you going to fill the time between life and death, meaning what do you still want to accomplish? And you had mentioned a house in Connecticut, filler on your face, and losing that last 5 pounds. So, well, I obviously know where you are with the filler because you just got it. But where are you with the house and losing those last 5 pounds?
Well, the house is still in the future.
Okay.
Because I've actually just redid my apartment, repainted and things like that. But the last 5 pounds have been, that was accomplished.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm very excited about that. And here's the good news. The good news is that when you do 8 a week of a Broadway musical, and you don't eat a lot, the last 5 pounds will happen.
Yeah.
I think it's also because even though I don't really move that much in Tootsie, just doing 8 a week of a Broadway musical, you're busy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I will say I am trying to be healthier. Mm-hmm. I've been going to the gym more. You do need stamina when you're doing a Broadway musical. I don't know how Santino Fontana is doing it. And his wife is about to give birth any minute.
Oh my gosh.
And you'd think he was giving birth.
Right.
But I don't know how he's doing it and still sounding amazing and moving and that voice and getting in and out of all the costumes he has to get in and out of. He's really a hero and a warrior. And I also think, too, that keeping busy has really helped me this last, like I said, challenging year. And I love the cast.
Yeah.
We have a lot of fun together. Laughing helps. And, you know, just they call me Zippy Halston at the theater, which I love because it does sound like a Bitsy Von Mufflin character, Zippy Halston. And I'm always sort of running around. I'm always doing something. And I think that really has helped me both mentally and physically.
Yes.
So the house is still a little far off. But I did accomplish the other two.
Yes, that's amazing. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bringing it back to the show. So your last Birdland show, which we did just mention, happened a few months right after your mom passed away. And now this show is a little over a year after Ralph passed away. So how do you continue to find the funny among all this heartache?
Before we get to that answer, let's take a quick break and get a word in from one of our sponsors. We'll be back in a minute. Oh, wait. You don't know? You haven't heard? You must not be subscribed to the Call Me Adam Digest. When you sign up for the Call Me Adam Digest, you are the first to know. You get a front row seat to my interviews and podcast episodes, where you get to discover new things about your favorite celebrities. You get personal stories from the other side of the microphone that you wouldn't know by just reading, watching, or listening to my interviews. we get to have a weekly connection, and you can add some fun to your weekend. So come take a peek behind the curtain with the Call Me Adam Digest. Sign up today at callmeadam.com. Can't wait to see you there. Welcome back to Bearing It All with Call Me Adam. So as you were saying.
Well, interestingly, Ralph was a very funny guy, and he loved when I did do my comedy act. He just loved it. And he always encouraged me, you know, get back out there, get back out there. So on a certain level, it's kind of an homage to him. My mother was hilarious. She was part of my act for so many years. I do miss her. It's very interesting. I was walking home from the theater, just a couple of nights ago, and I was thinking about my mom because she was the one who wanted to see Hamilton when she was 92 years old because she happened to see Lin-Manuel Miranda on one of those morning shows, you know, and she was like, oh, just get me tickets for that. You know, I was like, Mom, do you understand that it's like a phenomenon and like presidents can't get in,
right.
You know? And she was like, oh, call Sammy Rudy. Well, I did. And of course we got my mother in, which was amazing. And I, right across the street from the Marriott Marquis is Freestyle Love Supreme.
Yes.
And that will be Lin-Manuel Miranda's new show. And I thought, wouldn't it be funny if my mom would call me today and say, like, I don't understand these rappers, you know, but I want to see that freestyle thing. And it would be a riot to watch my, you know, 93-year-old mom. She still brings me a lot of joy when I think about all the things she said over the years and all the things that I can hear her still saying. So in a way, it doesn't bring me sadness. It actually brings me a lot of joy. And, I talk to them all the time. I'm sure my neighbors think I'm just crazy and the cats are like, stop, you know. But I talk to them all the time and I find it very comforting and rather inspiring. So, yeah.
I think that's going to help a lot of people who may be going through a similar situation to see how you take such a positive spin on it.
I really do. And when you really think about life, death, and filler, all of these passages that we are going through as older people or even younger people, it's part of life. We have to come to grips with it. The loss is very immeasurable sometimes and, you know, terribly, terribly disappointing on many levels. And yet, I also feel that there was so much joy with my mom and Ralph that I'm just going to remember all that kind of stuff and the joy. And I still do a lot of things that, like, Ralph was obsessed with the theater. So I go to the theater all the time and I think about him and I think about what he would like or what he wouldn't agree with perhaps or whatever. And my mom was the same. They both gave me such encouragement and support, and the love of theater was really from my mom. Mm-hmm. So I just feel all of this is just an homage.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
What do you miss most about Ralph?
Oh, he made me laugh. I mean, he really, really made me laugh. Just little things. And also that voice.
Mm-hmm.
He had the most mellifluous, beautiful voice. But all his archives are now at the Paley Center for Media Studies.
Oh,
so I'm
wonderful.
Very excited because people can actually hear that voice.
Uh-huh.
And I actually have many, many tapes of Ralph. And I do listen to them and I find them very comforting. He had such a great voice. And it was interesting, I got a number of calls from relatives of his and, you know, his cousin and his best friend on 9/11 because he really kept this city together on 9/11. And it was very heartening and very moving that people contacted me about that they were thinking of Ralph. So, it's all about, for me, dare I say, the humor. I mean, he was such a funny guy and, just a sweet, kind, lovely guy, but very, very funny. Yeah. He made me laugh. And so I'm very happy to make others laugh, mm-hmm. but a lot of times comics don't have other people who make them laugh, and he made me laugh a lot. So
I was just going to say, to make someone who is such a comedian laugh is a real feat. So
he made me laugh a lot.
Yeah.
Whenever we would disagree with something about something, you know, he would just sort of look at me and he would just say, "All right, what else, Helen?" You know, as if he was like in like, you know, the Honeymooners
right,
or something.
Right.
Or just crazy idiosyncratic things that he would say to me and I would just howl. You know, or he'd sort of look at me a strange way when I would say something. He'd go, and he'd make this weird face. And I would just love it. And I would be like, okay, yeah, you're right, you're right. Okay, that won't happen. That won't happen. But anyway, it's I'll never forget when he was in New York Press and he was really very gravely ill. He was ever the newsman.
Mm-hmm.
And we were watching Rachel Maddow, and you know, and he liked Rachel Maddow, but you know, sometimes she gets a little like very lectury and very preachy.
Yeah.
And he was very weak at that point, but he kind of sat up and he was like, "Stop yelling, Rachel, we hear you." And I just burst out laughing, and I thought, ever the newsman, you know, and it was really kind of great. So we both just had a big giggle about it.
That's wonderful. As they watch over you in this upcoming show, what do you think will make them laugh most? And do you think you'll have any material that would make their jaw drop with, like, how could she say that, similar to like a Joan Rivers "Oh my God" moment?
Well, I do think that Ralph will absolutely love the new wedding announcement that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
My jaw drops with it. It's so cray cray. And I think he would love it because he loved those wedding announcements, the New York Times wedding announcements. And this is a new one. So I'm very excited to reveal it.
Yes.
And
it's always a highlight of your shows.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. I think, the one thing that they might be like, is she really going to talk about that? Is, sometimes in my life, I don't want to reveal too much, but like when I've been unhealthy in my life and I've done sort of crazy things, I think my mom particularly would be like, "Why didn't I know about this? I would have called the doctor." Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
So that might be a little jaw-dropping for her. But a lot of it is, you know, celebrity stuff, you know, because I love to drop names. And I also know a lot of celebrities. So, and you know, many of them are wonderful, dear people, and some of them, you know, belong in a state hospital. I mean, come on, it's celebrities. I think that will be great. But yeah, I think they're, you know, their energies are watching over, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. One of the things I'm a little not really concerned with, because I have some time, but you know, again, being a deeply shallow person, what am I going to wear?
Yes.
I mean, it's very important, as we know, and there are people who come to my show to see, what is she going to wear? Now, obviously, you know, I can't even compare to Billy Porter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know,
I've
Billy.
I've seen some of his outfits recently. I mean, they are fantastic.
They're unbelievable, and I just adore him, and, you know, just the Billy Porter, you are my idol. But I always like to present in a rather glamorous fashion.
Yes.
And, you know, now that the face is working, or not working.
It's working.
It's working.
It's working.
I have to figure out what I'm going to wear. Because I have to say that when I figure out what the image is that I want to present, it actually helps, it actually helps me with the material.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I want to be, you know, the sort of wacky girl this time. Mm-hmm. Or this time I want to be very Bitsy Von Muffling.
Mm-hmm.
Or do I want to be just, you know, the classic lady?
Mm-hmm.
And it does help me figure out how I'm going to present the material. So it's an interesting thing. I mean, I am definitely of the British school of acting, which is find the physical first.
Yes.
I'm about as method as this coffee table, to be quite honest. But the fact is, they're both two schools of acting that can work.
Yes.
And, you know, I think it was Laurence Olivier. Do you believe that I'm talking about Laurence Olivier? Laurence Olivier said that when he found the nose of a character, mm-hmm. he would... But for me, it's just the sort of overall look, and then I can figure out the underpinnings underneath that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, I can't wait to see what it's going to be.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I am. I'm really excited. It's been 2 years,
yes.
and I'm very happy to be back.
Yes. Well, we're excited to have you back. And not to put any pressure on, but you've never failed with your outfit, so.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
okay, so... We do have to talk a little bit about Tootsie.
Yes.
So what initially made you want to audition for Tootsie?
Do you remember watching your favorite celebrity being interviewed, but you could tell there was more to that interview than what was being shown? My name is Adam Rothenberg, and in the past 16 years, I have interviewed over 2,200 artists and celebrities, and I am here to tell you that yes, there is definitely more to the interviews you have watched, read, or listened to. In my debut book, Behind the Curtain, The Mistakes, Lessons Learned, and Triumphs of Interviewing Celebrities, I take you behind the scenes of what really happens during an interview, sharing the joys, the pitfalls, and the OMG moments. You can get your copy on Amazon or through my entertainment platform, callmeadam.com. You can get your very own autograph copy.
Well, little known fact, I didn't audition for Tootsie, which is a lovely...
It was an ask?
It was offer only.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah. Offer only. No, what happened was, and it's a very moving story, actually. I had worked with Scott Ellis. I've worked with him a number of times, and I absolutely worship him. He really is one of my favorite people to work with.
Yeah.
He's very efficient. He's very smart. He's very trusting of actors. I just love him. And he gets me, you know. So what was happening is they had done a number of workshops of Tootsie. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know about this. You know, I'm a pretty, you know, savvy person. I think I know everything, but I didn't even know about these workshops. The character of Rita Marshall, who is the producer, the one I play, she was very sketchy. Robert Horne, our Tony Award-winning book writer,
yeah.
hadn't really figured out what he wanted from that character yet. And they were sort of casting about. They didn't know what they wanted, and so they had a few people in, mm-hmm. and I guess they just weren't finding the rhythms mm-hmm. for her. And I was in the throes of really being a primary caregiver to Ralph, and I wasn't really working very much because it was getting really difficult.
Yeah.
And I was sitting literally on this couch watching the PBS NewsHour. Ralph was actually sleeping. The phone rang. It was Scott Ellis. And he was like, "Hey, honey, how are you? What's going on?" I was like, "What's going on?" "Not much." And he was like, "Well, I don't know how to say this, but we're doing this workshop of Tootsie. We don't really know what we have in terms of this character. I feel kind of weird asking you to come in and read this character. I don't know if it's 2 lines, 200 lines, no lines. Would you sort of help us out? We're trying to figure it out." I said, "For you, Scott, I will do anything, you know, because after you can't take it with you,"
yeah.
which is where he gave me the freedom to climb those stairs
yes.
and kind of hijack the show for a minute. and it was so generous. I said, "For you, I'll do anything. I don't care if it's 2 lines or 200.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in. I didn't know who Robert Horne was. He was sort of sitting in the back, listening to everybody. I came in, I started reading the words that he had on the page, and I saw Robert Horne, and again, I didn't know if he was like an assistant choreographer or something. I didn't know who he was. I saw this guy laughing a lot. Every time I opened my mouth, he was laughing. But I didn't really know what this was about. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think what I brought were the sort of traditional Jewish vaudeville rhythms,
yes,
which are very specific. Mm-hmm. And that is the way Robert Horn writes, mm-hmm, specifically for Rita Marshall. At the end of the whole workshop, I just was kind of standing there, and Scott Ellis pulled me aside, and he said, "So you want to go to Broadway with Tootsie?" And I just looked at him, and he said, "Oh, here, meet Robert." And Robert said, "I'm going to write for you."
Oh, my God.
And I called the home care aide that was taking care of my husband, and I said, "Can you stay an extra 15 minutes?" Mm-hmm. And she said, "Of course." And I walked home from 34th Street to 55th Street, all the way home, because I was so happy and mm-hmm moved, and I was very teary, but I knew that my life was going to take a really different turn, because mm-hmm it had been very challenging,
yeah,
and I was thrilled. And when I got home, I said, "Ralph, I just got a Broadway show. I'm going to be back on Broadway in Tootsie," and he said, "Well, that's my girl," and that was it. I know. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It
yeah
really doesn't get yeah more moving than that. No. And that was it. And so Tootsie will forever be in my heart, mm-hmm, so strongly.
Yeah.
Gypsy was the same way with me. I was so moved when I got into Gypsy. And I'm so moved that I'm doing Tootsie. I love being on Broadway,
yes,
of course. But then there was stories about how you do these things, mm-hmm, and this one is particularly moving. So, and of course, what is amazing about Tootsie too is everyone in that show is at the top of their game.
Yes.
I mean, when Robert accepted his Tony Award and said, "I get to write for this incredible cavalcade of comedians and comic clowns," he's not kidding. Mm-hmm. John Bellman, Andy Grotluschen, Sarah Stiles, Reg Rogers, Mike McGraw. I mean, you know, myself, I'll put myself in there. But, you know, Lily Cooper. I mean, we're it's incredible.
Yes.
And every night the audience goes cuckoo pants. And why wouldn't they?
It's hilarious. I laughed for 2.5 hours straight when I saw that show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every night when John Bellman says, "Yes, it's a little infected," you know, you'll have to come see it to see what I'm talking about. I am backstage howling.
Yeah.
Every time Mike McGraw does the reveal scene,
mm-hmm,
I watch it every night. Mm-hmm. I watch it. I watched it every night in Chicago. I watch it every night in New York. I laugh every night.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
It's a great show. It's so good. And, I mean, everybody should come see it. For, like you said, for everybody, because the cast is one of the funniest casts I've seen on Broadway. Everyone made me laugh in that show.
Yeah. And also we have the wonderful ensemble. Dennis Jones did a beautiful job. It's just, you know, these crazy talented people. They sing, they dance, they act. Leslie Flesner, I mean, she is Sarah Stiles' understudy. Mm-hmm. She has gone on as Sandy Lester. She's amazing. She's amazing. Plus, she's dancing, she's singing. I mean, it's just like, I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
But it's just incredible. And it's a real privilege to go to work every day and see these people. Plus, you know, dare we say, there's not a bitch in the bunch. You know, I think I'm the bitch. I must be the bitch in the bunch. But there really is. There's, you know, they're just all fantastic.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. And knowing a lot of them, I can agree with you on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
Yes. Yes. Well, now let's combine two of your characters together. So we're going to combine Rita Marshall from Tootsie and Bitsy Von Muffling from Sex and the City. So if Bitsy came in to audition for the show that is in Tootsie, like, because it's the show within the show, how do you think Rita would react to her?
Well, I suspect that Rita would actually know who Bitsy Von Muffling was. And she might be like, Well, she's married to a gay man, which Bitsy was.
That's right.
All right, good luck to you, Bitsy. But I think she would also admire Bitsy because she'd be like, well, she loves the autistic, clearly, and she has money.
Yeah.
And Rita is always searching for investors.
Yeah.
Because as Rita Marshall says, I've got $12 million riding on this show, none of it mine, because a good producer does not invest their own money. So I think Rita would have a... I think Rita might feel a little sorry for Bitsy on a certain level, because it's like, oh, well, she married a piano player. You know, Bobby yeah. Fine was her. But she loves the artistic, and she's rich, and let's face it, she's gotten good acupuncture,
yeah.
and she did have a child.
Yeah.
So I think she has a double-edged sword with Bitsy, but I think ultimately they would get on.
Yeah.
I think they would get on because, you know, let's face it, they're women of a certain ilk.
Mm-hmm.
They wear the same kind of clothes.
Yeah.
Although I think Rita is happy that she probably didn't have children, you know, kept her figure.
Yes.
But I think there's some grudging admiration.
Yes, I agree.
Yes.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're already at the end of the interview, which I can't believe.
I can't either. We could talk for hours.
We could. Well, I always end my podcast interviews with playing off of the title of my podcast, Bearing It All with Call Me Adam. So if you were to bear it all, what is something you would reveal about yourself that you have not told previously?
Well, I have revealed this, but some people don't know that I actually enjoy baking.
Mm.
That's the only domestic
wow.
thing. But I also, all right, I'll tell you something I've never told people. I enjoy doing laundry. Exactly. I enjoy doing laundry. I like to see something dirty,
uh-huh.
then get clean,
uh-huh.
and then, you know, it's very immediate. It's
yeah.
like comedy. You make them laugh, you get an immediate reaction.
Yes.
I feel the same way about laundry. I don't do it often.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that. Sometimes others do it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I do it, I feel a great sense of accomplishment. What else would somebody not know about me? I'm kind of lazy, actually.
Really?
I know. People call me Zippy Halston.
Yeah.
But there's nothing that makes me happier than putting on reruns of, like, Law and Order.
Oh, my God.
And Blue Bloods, do you believe?
Yes.
And just sitting there with, like, chocolate.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's dinner, of course.
Yes.
Dinner. Chocolate and watching reruns of, you know, the old shows. I could do that for hours.
I love that.
Yeah,
that's
something people might not know about
yeah.
me.
And the baking, what do you like to bake?
Cakes and cookies, lemon tarts. I haven't done it in a while, but actually I'm gearing up to do a special chocolate chip cookie
oh.
that the doormen in my building are kind of demanding.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to be doing that soon.
All right.
Yeah,
I was
going to
say, if you ever bake a snickerdoodle, I'm your number one
oh,
guy.
Oh, okay. Yes. All right.
Yes.
Didn't know that.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Yes. See, now you learned something about
now
me.
Now I learned something about you, darling.
It.
All
I
right.
Well, everybody listening, I would say come see Julie's show October 3rd, but it's sold out already.
It's sold out, and it sold out in a week. I couldn't believe it. There is a waiting list,
okay.
and people can call Birdland, and I think, believe it or not, the waiting list – they do try to get people on the waiting list in because a lot of times people cancel at the last time,
uh-huh.
at the last minute. So I would say call Birdland. I think it's 581-3080, I think. But you can call Birdland Jazz Club.
I'll have the number on Call Me Adam.
There you go. And get on the waiting list and see if you can get in because they do try to get everyone in. It's going to be a rockin' show. So please. And I may be adding a second show if we can work it out. It's just that my Tootsie schedule, my only night
yes.
off is Thursday nights.
Yes. Yes. Well, hopefully you'll get that second show added. And if you can't make it to Julie's show, come see her in Tootsie. She's fantastic. The show is fantastic. It plays at the Marriott Marquis on 45th Street, right in the heart of New York City. Come see it.
We're having a blast.
Yes.
A blast.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you,
You're welcome. Love it.
As always.
He'll get the dirt and the scoop and the story, for he happens to be in the know. Just ask anybody who's Adam. Adam lives for the business of show. Call me Adam.com.